My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Money Exchange.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
Hello, my name is Bob the Drag Queen.
I'm on Exchange. And this is Sibling Advisory.
Do people ask you for advice?
People do ask me for advice. I mean, I'm on the internet, yes, a lot. But in terms of, and I have like my close group of friends that often ask me for advice. So I guess, yeah, people do ask me for advice a lot.
And who do you ask for advice the most from?
I have like three people I ask for advice from. I ask you, I asked Jay, and I asked Dewan. Those are like my three sounding boards pretty much all the time.
And why do you pick us three for your advice giving? What is it about our moral compass or our reasoning that you tend to lean into us?
I think all three of you are level-headed people. You guys are pretty level-headed. You guys often don't give biased advice, and that's what I like. I like advice that is unbiased and level-headed, because I sometimes don't think levelly in like 10 situations when I'm like getting wild. So I like people who do.
I know you said you guys. Do you not think that women in your life are worthy of giving you advice? Or no women in your life who you think give good advice?
Yeah, fuck all of them. They all give shit advice. I'll never ask any person who identifies as a woman to give me advice. They're terrible.
Well, welcome to Sibling Advice. My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I'm Monet Exchange. And this is the new frontier.
Yeah, we're doing a new thing called Sibling Watchery. I just want to let you all know.
This Sibling is Advisory. You're already saying the wrong thing.
Oh, God. Oh, God. This is not official advice. We are not professionals in therapy or in science or in any sort of area except, I can speak for myself, drag and comedy is where I'm an area. And I'm sure Monet is music and drag and probably
makeup and beauty. I can give you advice on all those things.
I mean, you're not a professional makeup artist.
I'm not. I don't think you need to be a professional makeup artist to give beauty advice.
I was
advice.
Saying what we're professionals in. I didn't say what we're. I said this is the thing that we're professional.
Well,
in.
I will say, who says we're not? I mean, I do makeup on myself for a lot.
I would say the lack of a license would say that you're not a qualified professional.
So someone who doesn't have a music degree makes them not a professional musician? No.
No, that's not what I said. I said someone who does not have a license in cosmetology is probably not some sort of a licensed professional who has met some standards and practices.
You can be an expert in something and not have a license in it.
Okay, well, that's professional. How about that? Professional.
Professional.
But, you know what? Maybe you are an expert in makeup, but I will say this. The advice we're giving today should be taken with a grain of salt.
Yes,
whether it's about drag, whether it's about relationships, religion, whatever advice we're giving you, take it with a grain of salt and a shot of penicillin. And let's let the questions roll.
Yeah, this is our new deviation. This is a new subsection of the sibling franchise. We have rivalry, where we fucking fight. We have watchery, where we watch series and give our opinions and talk through them. And this is advisory that's going to do everything that Bob just said. And again, I want to say for myself, because this, I want to say multiple times, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, Bob, you know this. Bob, can you take your phone off the table?
You're the one always dee 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 dee.
Bitch, that's you.
Everyone knows your ringtone. So let's get it real.
So I want to say it again, because I know, Bob, and you know this. Someone is going to comment and be like, who gives them the... This is Bob and I giving our opinions about how we feel about things, how we would handle it, what we would do. If you don't like that, then don't listen to this podcast.
The only thing Monet is an expert on is when you should finish your antibiotics. Let's go into... So, Jacob, did you rename these people?
Yes.
Okay. Our first one is Bob. You had said before that it took you a while to find a partner and that you would be single for a while. What changed for you? I feel like I'm destined to be looking for the rest of eternity. Sincerely, single forever. This is giving very Dear Abby.
Single forever.
So,
yeah, Bob, what changed that for you?
So, I was going through a period of time where I was not finding mutual attraction. And I also was very career focused. I think that Jacob and I met each other at a point in my life where my career was really shifting and I wasn't constantly looking for my next gig or my next project. I was working on one thing for 6 months. Well, I mean, a few things. I was working on my show at Oasis. I guess it's a lot. For me, it didn't sound like a lot. For us, doing a show twice a month at Oasis, doing a show 8 times a week at Berkeley Rep, and then starting a podcast was like pretty chill. That was a very level schedule. I was like, girl, yeah. I'm relaxed, honey. And you know, Jacob and I met on Grindr, and he like reached out to me again like after a while, and then I reached out to him when I got back to San Francisco, and we just kept hanging out, and then he came to my house and wouldn't leave. So I was like, we might as well start dating. I think that it was maybe. I don't know. I just ended up meeting someone who I had a lot in common with, who I seemed to hit it off with. And I felt like I also wasn't really looking. Like, I really was just looking to hook up. And then we ended up, like, being together.
Well, what do you, what say to you to the people? Because that's a lot of people say that. They're like, you know what? You'll find him when you'll find him or her when you're not looking. You'll find them when you're not looking. That's, like, when it happens.
I think that you could look and still find someone.
Agreed.
I think that maybe what we could all do is shift our idea of what a relationship is supposed to be. Maybe we could shift our idea of what it means to be in love or to be with someone from some romanticized version you've seen on television or in movies or in a book or even in your own friend group. For everyone, love is different. Relationships are different. Love for you might not look like love for your parents. The kind of love your parents had might not look like the kind of love that you have. And the kind of love that your best friend has might look different than yours. I mean, we were talking to a friend recently who was like, my relationship with my boyfriend, he was explaining, and I was like, oh, this is so different than me and Jacob. Like, this is just not how we are, but it is working for him. And they really seem to be getting along very, very well.
Yeah, on the opposite side of that, if the way that you picture love to be is the way that you want it, you're not willing to change from that, then you can't be upset that you don't find what you're looking for, and maybe you will find that eventually. But I think that you had to really open yourself up to experience what love is supposed to be for you, not what you want it to be for you. Like, love for you, maybe you have an idea of that love, it will be a single monogamous relationship, you and this person, but maybe your spirit wants you to be polyamorous, or reversely. Maybe you're like, ugh, I can only be open. I only want to have multiple partners and polyamorous and open. Or maybe the person for you might be someone who it might be a monogamous relationship. I think that you just have to just open yourself to what the possibilities are endless in love and relationships, especially today. So just lean into that.
Well, I don't believe in the person for you. I believe in a person for you. I don't believe in like true loves and like one true love and like soulmates. I don't believe in that stuff.
Work.
I think that we're probably compatible with lots of people. And if
the idea of like a single one soulmate doesn't speak to me, but I do think that for some people there is the one they're looking for, and they find them, and then they get married and they live happily ever after. Again, and happily ever after doesn't mean like nothing ever happens. They don't get mad. They don't get a divorce. And that's another thing too. People are like,
what do you mean by like the one they want to be like? I believe that honestly, if Jacob and I had met, I would have just met someone else that I was also very compatible with. Like, I think there are lots of people in the world that I'm very compatible with. I just haven't met them, or we haven't landed in a circumstance where we would be able to date, or I met them, or they're older than me, or younger than me, or they're in a different country, or they're on a different, you know, time zone. They work the night shift and I work the day shift and it won't work. But I think that we are compatible with lots of people. We just happen to meet a few of them
Sure, for you, but I think for some people, they find that one person, and in their mind, that's the only person that they feel like they can be with, and they end up being together for 50 years or 20 years, or they're together for 10 and they divorce, and then after that, they just date because they don't feel like they'll find that person again, and I think that's fine, too. I just feel like it's whatever you can fall asleep to at the end of the night or when you close your eyes when you die, like whatever makes you happy and keeps you in that place, then good for you.
Yeah, trying to... I mean, so you know how I feel about the one. Like, it is just really, it puts a lot of weight on that person. And then, God forbid, something ever happened to that person. They're dead, and you lost the one. The one came and went, and now they're dead, and you're single to the day you die.
And now you're free to fuck and be a whore for the rest of your life if you want to too.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that ideology, but I think that what worked for me was finding someone who I'm compatible with. It's all about compatibility, love, and luckily we're very compatible, right?
Wait, did you right. Work. Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring, it was gray, it was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code RIVALRY to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
So that was single forever. Let's move on to the next one. And this is from Two Guys in Love. My brother and I are identical twins. We were always
just like
extreme.
Us.
We were always extremely close growing up, and we were teens. And when we were teens, we started experimenting sexually with each other. After a couple of years,
girl,
we realized.
Girl, stop reading for a second. You just kept reading like that was, you just kept reading. You just really kept reading.
I wanted really to take it all in.
You said, yeah, well, I think one of these twins wants to take it all in too.
it's getting really juicy, very,
not
really
the,
quick.
Not the Zakar twins writing us.
Girl, very Zakar twins, bitch. If y'all,
the
Zakar twins
don't know
two guys
the Zakar twins.
Who used to tour with Murray and Peter.
Not the Zakar twins writing us.
Okay. After a couple of years, we realized we had fallen in love.
Girl, 10 years Jacob, can I get a drink, please? This is getting wild. I need. Can you give me a drink and some of the squirty stuff, please? Some water and
not the squirty
crazy.
Stuff.
I want one of these, just like these twins, give each other the squirty stuff. This is what is it? Clickety click.
Clickety clackety.
What did the comments said a while back? Because I asked Jacob to Google something, and I said, "Can you clickety clackety that?" And then they said, how does Bob ask Jacob to suck his dick? Can you give me a slurpity slurp?
Wasn't it suckety suckety?
It's in the cabinet where the flyby jing is. It's like, someone said, does Bob look at Jacob and say, can I get that suckety slurpity? All right, sorry. Keep reading. This is getting crazier and crazier every time.
10 years later, we're still together in secret. People keep asking us if we're looking to settle down and find a longtime partner, but we're happy the way things are. Do we owe it to other people to share our relationship with them? Can we get in legal trouble for coming out? How do we get other people to stop prying into our personal lives? Sincerely, Two Guys in Love. That is
wild.
Oh my God. Well, number one, you can't get in the league. I mean, depending on where you live, I'm assuming
What in the Alabama is going on?
I'm assuming America, so you can't get in trouble for coming out. You can't get in legal trouble for coming out. You can come out, whatever. But I think, but if you mean coming out as a couple legally, I mean, I'm sure there are some states' laws that may be against that in certain places that I'm not aware of.
I think you're maybe allowed to fuck your siblings.
Are you legally in certain states?
I think you're allowed to legally fuck your siblings as long as you're both consenting.
Really?
I think there are some laws about procreating because I think, and Jim, can you clickety clackety? Can you Google that, please? I think there are some laws about procreating because I think there's a thing with if you're closely related to someone, you have children, it can negatively impact their health.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, these two can't procreate.
I mean, yeah, they can't. You don't owe it to anyone to share your relationship with them. If you like having your relationship in secret, then that's your business. But with that, no, people are going to pry, especially if you have friends and family who you're close to. They are going to want to pry and find out, like, who you're dating. So you're constantly going to be living in this cycle of lying to people about your life and about who you love.
Rhode Island, Ohio, and New Jersey are the only states where incest is legal.
Wow. Wait, those three states are the only states that it's legal or illegal?
So if you want to fuck your brother, I recommend you go to Rhode Island, Ohio, or New Jersey.
Yeah, I knew there was some law adults.
This is from criminaldefenselawyer.com. Incest between adults is a felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison, depending on state laws. Incest against children is punishable as severely, if not more so, as are other cases of child and sexual abuse, all blah, blah, blah. I think that...
So yes, they can. You can get in if you don't live in one of those three states, Bob said, you can get in legal trouble for coming out of like your relationship.
You know, this is really testing my consensual adults. I'm like two consenting adults, whatever you want.
You can't.
I will say this. You will have a very hard time finding acceptance from people if you are fucking your brother. You will have a very, very hard time getting acceptance from anyone in your family, probably, unless they're also doing it. You probably have a hard time getting acceptance from your friends, and you'll certainly have a hard time getting acceptance from people in the world at large.
But you know what? There are porn star twins, though. Like, I've seen this. Like, someone has shown me, like, these twin brothers that they have sex with each other. So they must be having sex in one of those three states you mentioned.
Or they're not American. And I also know that there's also a big thing on porn where people are twins, but they're not twins. They're just people who look alike.
No, these are famous twin brothers.
And they fuck each other?
Yeah, they suck each other's dicks and they fuck each other. It's like a thing.
So this is a popularly referred to on the internet as twincest, which is usually when two boyfriends look alike, they call it twincest. It's like a jokey thing.
Yeah.
But this is literally fucking your identical twin. And if I'm being honest, I feel uncomfortable discussing this. Everything in my socialization tells me this is a problem.
Yeah.
Morally speaking, I have a hard time coming to a place where consensually fucking your brother is wrong morally in my brain, but my socialization, everything in my socialization says this is horrible. Don't do this.
Yeah. I mean,
I had to get a drink on this one, girl. The Waterloo save the day, girl. Waterloo come through.
Well, you know what? This is so funny because I don't. It was some time
ago. You think incest is funny?
It was some time ago. I was with some. I don't know who I was with. I don't know what if. I don't know who I was talking this about. But the twin porn star brothers came up, and everyone was talking about like how hot it was, and they wanted to watch. I was like, I have no interest in watching that. And they were like, girl, it's hot. I was like, I don't think so. I don't think two twins having sex with each other, I don't want to see that. That's not like a turn on for me. Everyone else thought it was really hot. And then the conversation got on, well, girl, if you had like a twin brother, you wouldn't want to like see his dick. I'm like, no, I really would not. I'm not interested. I was like, A, if we're twins, we have the same devices. So I don't need to see that.
That's not true. Identical twins do not always have the same. Their bodies are not literally identical. And their penises and their genitals and their pussies are not always the same. The Zakhar twins famously did penis molds of themselves on YouTube. They are two different dicks. Are you telling me that you wouldn't fuck Devin Burton?
Absolutely not. To me, that's so...
Devin and Kevin.
It's my brother. That is so crazy to me. But that's the thing. We got on that conversation. They were like, "Well, girl, if you had a twin brother, you wouldn't like suck his dick or something." I was like, "No, I don't want to see it. I don't want to suck it. That would be so weird. It's my brother."
So it makes me. I wouldn't either. It makes me wonder how many twins are sucking each other's dicks and eating each other's pussies. It makes me wonder, like, how often are twins like?
Yeah,
I just want to see if your dick looks like my dick. I also want to point out, I don't think it is weird for young people to like want to see each other's genitals. That seems pretty normal.
Yeah.
Between like friends and even families, like I want to see what you have. You know, children are very curious people.
Yeah.
I want to say best of luck to you all, but I just hope that you find what you need in life. And I do think that you will have a very hard time getting people to accept your relationship. Is this a real thing or did you make these up? This is real? And were they submitted anonymously? Girl.
Well, my advice to you guys is know that, if you do not live in one of the three states that Bob mentioned, you will get in legal trouble for coming out in a relationship together, for having sex together. And I don't think you can stop people from prying into your lives, especially their close friends and family. They're going to want to know about your life, and not unless you're estranged from your family.
It's not just because you're dating, you might possibly be fucking each other, but everyone's like, especially if you're a decent person, you know what's the most annoying question to be asked when you're single is, why are you single? Bitch,
yeah.
I don't fucking know, bitch. unless I recently broke up, bitch, I don't fucking know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if y'all are happy living secretly, but it seems like you're not happy because people keep on prying, people want to know, so you want to like share this with people. So it doesn't seem like you're happy doing it in secret. But if you come out, there can be legal trouble, and you can lose family, friends. I think there's a lot to lose by coming out.
But also, no lie can live forever. Remember that. No lie can live forever. As William Cullen Bryant said, truth crushed to earth will rise again. It will be found out.
Yeah. So I hope
things are laughing over there, Jacob.
You guys stay safe and you find the validation that you're looking for from your friends and family by not coming out with it.
Let's move on. Dear Bob Monet, how do I stop falling in love with my fuck buddies?
I have an answer for this. Realizing that sex is just sex. Like, sex is sex. Like, I mean, if you are single and you're having sex with these fuck buddies and hoping that they will eventually become relationships, you have to realize that these fuck buddies are probably coming into it as like, I'm just trying to fuck. I'm just trying to come. I'm just trying to suck some dick. I'm just trying to eat some pussy. Like, that's all that they're probably going into it with. So if you're not going into it with those same intentions, hoping that that it will become something more, then you're going to keep on falling in love with them.
Maybe you could also try to set some boundaries. You know, if you're dating your fuck buddy, you'll probably fall in love with them if you're compatible. Also, I mean, do people fall in love that frequently? I mean, how many times have you been in love, Monet? Like,
I would say I've been in love like maybe 4 times.
And you're 31?
Yeah.
I'm 35. I've been in love probably three times in my life. And keep falling in love with your I don't fall in love that easily. I mean, I am.
When did you and Jacob say that you? When did you and Jacob tell each other that you love each other?
Jake and I started saying we love each other right away. Pretty much immediately.
What do you mean immediately?
I mean, we had started dating and about a week later we were like, let's just start saying it even if we don't mean it and then eventually we will.
Wait, what do you say? I mean, day one.
Like less than a, maybe within a week we were like laying to sleep and I said, hey, I'm just going to say I love you. I love you, like, before I go to sleep. And let's just start saying it now. And I don't know if it's true yet or how we feel. It's pretty early in our relationship. But we'll just start saying I love you now and not make a big deal out of when we finally say it. We'll just say, I love you.
Mom, you're so cute. You mom, my little stinky baby. You're so cute.
Why is that so cute?
Because, again, y'all know me. I get Bob's little isms, his little quirks. They really tickle me. And that is such a Bob thing. Like, hey, I don't know if I really mean it. I'm going to say I love you tonight. And eventually it'll work. That is very Bob. That is so Bob.
And it did work. And then and now I really do love Jacob. And I don't remember the day where I said it and meant it. But I remember being like, But I do know that now I love Jacob very, very much, and he's an integral part of my life, and I'm very grateful to have him in my life.
Do you remember when you told me that you love me?
I don't know. I mean, I said it a lot though.
It was November 13th, 2016. You're so full of shit. I mean, sorry. I'm serious. 2016 is the first time you told me that you loved me.
What were the circumstances?
I was going out to do a gig, and you told me you loved me.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
I'm being serious.
Where were we?
You were at your old apartment.
And you were leaving my place to go to a gig. Why would you be at my place before a gig?
Bob, so many times I would get ready at your house with you in your little crunchy little apartment. Yes.
We don't need to start attacking my home. I don't know why that needs to start coming into play. I didn't say anything about your little shitty apartment in the Bronx with your little glass chess piece from Walgreens in the corner. Monet used to have a chess board in the corner of her apartment that she couldn't play, by the way. Monet can't play chess either, by the way. Monet was horrible. I played her one time. By the way, I'm not good at chess. I crushed Monet. I was like, oh my God, you're bad at this game. And she just kept it proper. It was like one of those really cheap glass ones you see at Walgreens.
Cheap? Excuse me.
It was cheap, and you know it was cheap. Monet, you know that thing was cheap.
Anyway, back to the question. I like Bob's idea of boundaries too. Like, maybe that means not letting them sleep over. Maybe that means not doing certain things so that you don't fall in love with this person.
Or maybe if kissing is what brings you to the loving point, maybe you don't kiss. Maybe if it is, maybe if the movies you watch together were too much, like maybe it don't need to be Netflix and chill. Maybe y'all need to just chill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, why don't you just consider dating one of your fuck buddies? Like, why can't y'all date?
I think the thing might be the fuck buddies I'm not trying to date. I think that's what is happening here. He said, because
you ever had any really consistent fuck buddies? Like, really consistent, like...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, for years fuck buddies?
For sure. Remember I was telling you about that guy, Kenny, that I used to hook up with when I was still in high school?
Bob,
the amount of Kennys that exist in the world, what are you talking about?
That went to your high school that fucked you?
No, he was not in high school with me. I was in high school. I met him while I was in high school, and he like periodically he'll still text me to this day, and I'm like, girl, I have a boyfriend or something like that. Like I'm not in New York anymore. It's not cool.
I'm anonymous now. One time Layla was in town, and there's this guy that she like hooks up with, and she was like, you know, when you come to town, there's a hookup. You try to see if you want to fuck. A lot of people do this, right? So yeah. Layla reached out to this guy and was like, hey. And then, like, his first text back was, I'm monogamous now. So for a while, that was me and Layla's response to anything anyone would say. They'd be like, hey, do you guys want to go out tonight? I'm monogamous. I'm monogamous now. I have a couple of fuck buddies now that I still... To be honest, I have probably two fuck buddies who are not my partners that are, like, currently in rotation. They don't live in the same town as I do. But whenever I'm in the town, like, we definitely hang out.
Yeah. And do you ever find yourself falling in love with fuck buddies?
So I have a fuck buddy in San Francisco. And we're not in love, but he's a really, really good friend. And we talk a lot. Well, not a lot. We text frequently. And whenever I'm in town, we definitely hang out. And I really like him. But I'm not in love. He's also in a relationship. And I have a fuck buddy from New York City who I actually did have feelings for. But I wasn't in love, but I did have feelings for him like a while back. Like before I even met Jacob.
Got it.
Thank you, Horny Heart, and I hope that helped.
Dear Bob and Monet, I'm having trouble getting over the hump and having anal sex. I'm too scared. Do you have any advice on making the first time any easier and less intimidating, both from a topping and bottom perspective? Sincerely, getting ready.
Okay, I really feel like I need more information on you. I need to know if you're assigned female at birth or assigned male at birth, because that changes everything. Anal changes. If you're assigned female at birth versus assigned a male at birth,
uh-huh,
top body anal sex is completely different experience.
Really?
Because, you know, people who are assigned female at birth don't have prostates.
Right, but you still have to get into the hole. It's not about making them come. I think the part is saying the pain.
It's about the feel, but like I think the pleasure of having your prostate stimulated is a part of what makes anal sex so much more pleasurable for people who are assigned male at birth. Now there are lots of people who are assigned female. There are lots of people with pussies who love anal sex. I've heard the stories. You see the videos on the internet. You heard about it in the paper. You've seen it in the news.
Well, anytime someone complains about having anal sex, in my mind, because as someone who bottoms a lot, I feel like it's getting through the pain threshold of it, because there is
you
a thing.
You bounce between, I don't bottom, I bottom a lot, big dicks are only for show.
Okay, first of all.
It has to be a big dick. If it's not a backbreaker, I can't take it.
Let me say what I have said on this podcast.
Yeah, because this is where they gather you in the comments, honey. This is where they're gathering you.
I have said the big dick comment thing, and I said guys with bigger dicks tend to want to get you ready and prep you and eat your ass out more because they know that they have a big piece of material. So whereas guys who may not necessarily have bigger penises, they just feel like they can just spit on it and go forward, or they don't have to do anything because maybe people they mess with, they can just slip right on and it's good. But guys don't have a bigger dick. You know that 9 times out of 10, you need to work it. You need to get it ready or else nothing can happen. So I feel like they always take more time to prepare a bottom to have sex.
I was listening to The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God, and they were having a discussion about penis size. Uh-huh. And Charlamagne kept going on and on about how his penis is really average size. And he's like, who wants these big dicks? And my dick is completely average. And then he kept saying stuff like, honestly, yeah. And then a caller would call in and be like, honestly, big dicks are horrible. They ruined me and it's not even fun. And then Charlie was like, yeah, I'm happy with my average 8.5. Yeah, fuck those big, huge dicks. Me and my little happy 8.5 are happy. And I was like, these two things you're saying aren't correlating.
Well, here's the thing. People say penis measurements, and I don't think they realize. Maybe Strongman does have an 8.5-inch dick, but let me tell y'all, 8.5 inches of penis, that is a very big dick. If your dick is 8.5, it's not
average, so why is he saying average? Why is he keeping on? Me and my little average 8.5 are great. Why is he saying that? I think his dick is less than that, but he's just saying it because he doesn't want to give the real number.
That's my point. 8.5 inches, very few people probably have 8.5 inches of dick. What I was going to say before Bob rudely interrupted me is that Charlamagne maybe has like
I could have done it way more rudely.
Charlamagne probably has a good and plenty 7-inch dick, and 7 inches of dick, that is a lot of penis. That is a big penis. That will, I mean, like that is long. Like, look, if you have a ruler or a tape measure, pull out your tape measure ruler right now and look at how long 7 inches is. That is a lot of dick.
More importantly, ask yourself how big you think your phone is and then Google the dimensions and you'll gag.
Right.
Or you won't because you don't gag. I think that when it comes to anal sex, here's something that's important to remember. Anal sex isn't for everyone. You don't, if you are queer or if you're not queer, whatever your situation is, you don't feel like you have to have, everyone doesn't have to have anal sex or take stuff in their butt. It is not, everyone's bodies are built differently. Our pleasure centers, our nerve endings are all different. So it just feels different for different people. If you are dedicated to having anal sex, I would say lots of lube. I mean, more than you think you need. Use as much as you think you need and then do 2 more squirts. Make sure you feel confident. You want to clean your butthole out. If you don't feel confident, you're not going to want to do it.
You should always douche until the water is running clear. If there is a little murky, you want to do it again to make sure it's clear, because then you feel good.
But also, when you're douching, you don't need to be using these like 1-gallon bulbs. Like, you're not trying to clean out your entire intestine. You're trying to clean out the first like 10 inches of your intestines. That's right. All you're trying to clean out.
Yeah. Don't overdouching is a real thing. Overdouching is a real thing. You get a lot of water in there, and then when y'all fucking, it gets real squirty, squirty, and like, and then you, because if you overdouche, then you're gonna push the water too far up. You're bringing shit down that's all the way by your fucking abdomen. Jesus Christ. And you're bringing all that.
You're pulling that food that hasn't even been digested. A full hoagie comes out.
So you don't want to overdouche. That's the problem, too.
That's a joke. You can't douche out and digest it, but just so everyone knows. Again, right. We're not medical professionals. But you want to make sure that you're clean, because if you don't feel confident, I don't think you'll be able to perform at your best. Although I've some people are just like, girl, whatever. You get what you get. You don't get upset.
Right.
And be with someone who's going to understand that this is your first time and that you need some patience. If the person is not and I feel like it is okay to let them know, hey, this is my first time. So please be patient with me. Please.
Oh, yeah. And also, so you said from topping and bottoming. So from a bottom, you want to be with someone who is going to lube you up properly, who is going to finger you a little bit, or you can also use toys that aren't as big as a penis to help open you up more. That's something that they can do. They can also perform oral sex on your hole, because that, again, that helps massage your hole, get it.
Analingus.
Yes, it will interlingus and get it relaxed to top. Another thing, again, I don't use them, but a lot of people do recommend them, especially at Sexwise or whatever. People use poppers because poppers help you relax. But again, poppers is I mean, they sell it at stores. Is poppers
not
considered
a drug? Not when they tell everyone to do drugs.
I mean,
I don't use it, but honestly, crack. It feels good to fuck on crack. I don't do it. But if you want to do crack, I've heard fucking on crack feels good. On meth feels great. I've heard it. I don't do it.
And if you're coming from a top perspective, I think that you want to make the bottom feel as good as possible, which means doing all the things I mentioned. Like you have to want to engage the hole and make it relaxed and make it feel comfortable before you just start sticking a fucking dick in there. Don't be the type of top. You kiss for a little bit, the bottom sucks your dick, and then you just go in and try to fuck them. Like, no, you need to finger them, use toys to get it open, analingus, all those things to help the hole feel
also
relaxed.
Also, check in with your partner, listen to them, ask them out loud, how is that? Does that feel good? That can also be a sexy question. Does that feel good? It's a sexy question. But also, be prepared for them to be like, no. Not great. And then you have to adjust accordingly. So, you know, there's also a new term called aside. Have you heard of this term?
What the fuck is aside? Aside, aside, Yaku.
Not a top, not a bottom. They're aside. It's a person who doesn't have anal sex. Like a gay man who doesn't have anal sex.
I've never heard of that term.
It's like, it got popularized on TikTok in 2020. So, anyway, you know that on the news.
It got popular on TikTok around 2020.
Popularized on the app TikTok in the year 2020, side is a new term to describe gay, whatever. So anyway, that is my advice to you. And just know that, you know, take some time. And also, last thing I'll say too is, like, if you're gonna try to loosen your butthole up with toys before the real deal, just know that it's not the same thing.
Like, what's not when, the same
when a,
thing?
An actual penis or a strap attached to a person shows up, it is different, because when you have your hand behind this toy trying to make it work versus a person thrusting their hips, the game will change. It will. So if you practice at home with a toy, it will not feel the same as when a person who is over 100 pounds, maybe over 200 pounds, maybe over 300 or 400 pounds, is thrusting their bodies at you. It will feel different. Be prepared for that.
Oh, I will also say, too, practicing at home before you do the real thing, like douching, like you by yourself at home, douching by yourself at home, getting toys and like dildos that are similar to the dicks that you want to take or you feel like you can take, because then you can practice on yourself and you can find out like what positions feel good for you. Like if you like doing it more like doggy style or missionary, like do you like the head going up or down? Like there are different things that you might like, and then you can only find that out obviously by having a lot of sex, but by practicing with toys on yourself at home, so knowing like what you're good at and how you feel good.
Yeah, find someone that you trust. Like our last listeners, they found their twin brother. Find someone that you trust who knows you, knows your body like it's their own. Just kidding.
Oh my God.
Let's go into our next. All right, dear Bob and Monet, I met a guy online. The guy flaked on me an hour before our fourth date. Oh, so this is fourth. Okay, the guy flaked on me an hour before our fourth date. That's hard to say. He's been great every other date, but this seems like a red flag. I'm trying to do better at setting boundaries because I've never set them before. Should I call the whole thing off or let him know it's not okay and there won't be a third chance if it happens again? A third chance? I thought there's only the third. First time it happened.
Yeah.
We're missing a piece of the story. I think this person is full of shit, and this person really dodged a bullet by ghosting you. No, I'm being,
oh my kidding. God.
I just want to be respectful for myself. First of all, you're untrustworthy. You said second chance. It wasn't the first. This person really dodged a bullet. I'm fucking with your ass.
Oh my God. I would say, go ahead.
It's a red flag. Ghosting is a red flag. Ghosting is
okay,
a
okay, ghosting and flaking flag. Are different.
Oh, the name is ghosted.
Yeah, but oh, I don't think this is not I think Jacob put that. This is not okay, ghosting someone. This is flaking.
You're right. I think that also we need more information. What is their excuse? Like, did someone die in the family, or did they just say I'm not feeling well? Also, sometimes it's okay for people to like work on their mental health. What if they're like, 2020 was rough. What if they're like, girl, I'm having a rough day and I just need to be. I can't go out today. I don't have the social. I don't have what it takes to go out into the world today. So please understand that I won't be joining you tonight. Or do they just say, I ain't coming. Bye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bob is taking the very diplomatic approach. I'm gonna go on the ratchet side. The person was like y'all had plans to meet at the coffee shop at 4:00. You showed up at 4:00 and the person just didn't show up. I think didn't show up and they didn't text. I think that is a really bad, nasty flake. But if y'all were gonna meet at 4:00 and the person hits you up at like 3:50, like, hey, I know we're supposed to meet up in 10 minutes, but I just really can't today. I'm really sorry. Let's do it again next time. I also think that's a bit of a red flag. Well, I'm going to say that's a yellow flag. I'm like, bitch, you waited 10 minutes because if we were to meet at 4:00, you knew before 3:50.
It's an hour.
Oh, they fixed me an hour. Okay, an hour before, I feel that's reasonable. And I think that if the
and
person
it's the fourth date. They showed up three times.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you should cut them off for that.
Yeah, I think that you should, if you're comfortable with dating, if you're comfortable enough with this person, ask them why they flaked, and they're comfortable enough telling you, you can assess if that was a good enough reason for you. But I don't think you should. I think people deserve more chances than that.
With Andy and I, we something similar towards like it was like maybe after our like fourth date, actually similar to this, but it wasn't like a flake. So we had made plans to meet up for lunch at 3:00. Well, he was going to come to my place and we're going to go to get lunch somewhere or get coffee somewhere or something like that. And then 3:00 came around and I didn't hear anything from him. Now, granted, he was at work, so he had like an hour break in his work day. He was going to just swing by my house and get coffee together, yeah. And then 3:00 came around, I never heard from him and I didn't text or say anything. And then he texted later. He was like, hey, how's your day? Like, are you going to come over tonight, whatever? And I was like, bitch, you remember what we were supposed to have lunch? We were supposed to get coffee earlier? And he was like, oh my God, why didn't you text me? And so that's not like a bad. So in that moment, I was kind of feeling like you. I'm like, does this motherfucker flake on me? Did he ghost on me? But I could have also taken the initiative to ask more and to like, hey, is this still happening? Instead of just being like, you tried to play me, you flaked on me, when that really wasn't the case.
Yeah, I think that this person deserves another chance, and I think that I think that what you're doing is tray mature.
Yeah.
So thank you, Ghosted.
Yeah. Dear Bob and Monet, is it wrong that I get turned on when a white man uses slurs while topping me? Ooh, girl. I feel so horrible about this. I'm African-American, and lately I've been on a road to opening up my sexual exploration. I'm worried because I think I've gone too far to find this enjoyable. Sincerely, kink-shamed. Girl. Speaking for me, you are a grown person experiencing sex. You can go as far as you want to. You can go and you can do as much as you want. I think that's up to you. I mean, if after this sexual experience, you feel bad about yourself, because in the moment, right, you're finding it pleasurable, you're finding it enjoyable. If after it's over, you like feeling down about yourself, you're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Then I think that's something that you need to explore. But I mean, if you like it, no one can tell you that it's not right.
Yeah, being degraded in the bedroom is a big kink for a lot of people, and everyone has lines that they draw. It's really important to set boundaries.
Yes.
When you're with people, and if you are both consenting adults and you find that attractive, I think Monet's right. As long as you don't feel bad afterwards, if it's, it sounds like it's affecting you negatively.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's negatively impacting your mental health because you don't feel good about it. Or maybe that, maybe you need to do some more work on your, on yourself to find out if you actually do feel okay with it. Maybe take a deeper look into why you want
why,
that kink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you think that exploring that with a partner that you trust is healthy, then I don't see the problem with it. But if it's leaving you feeling bad, then I think that you should abort mission. I'm not one of the folks who's like, never. You're adults. You're both adults. You know, do what feels good.
Yeah, I mean, as for me, I know that could work for me. And again, I'm into things like choking, slapping, all that shit. But you can't be calling me no niggas in the bedroom. That's not gonna work. That just wouldn't work for me. You can't be calling me a black monkey, a Negro, or whatever. That just can't work for me. But bitch, if it's helping you get your rocks off, then I guess that's fine and dandy for you, mama.
Yeah, same. I'm certainly not gonna kink shame anyone. Dear Bob and Monet, I have an entanglement. How do I find out where we stand and how to go on? Can I take this with Mona, or do you want to go take this?
Please, go ahead, take it.
Open and honest communication. Say, are we dating? First of all, say how you feel and say what you want, and then ask what you want to know. I have feelings for you. I would like a relationship. How do you feel? Don't get the guessing games. This is exhausting.
It sucks.
You're in the middle of a guessing game with this person right now, that sounds like a horrible kickoff to a relationship. It's a red flag. It is a precursor to the rest of your relationship. It is really setting yourself up to be really upset and annoyed because you're just playing games. Like, you don't want to guess. There's no guessing. I hate guessing. I hate the idea of guessing in a relationship. What's going on and how the other person feels. That sounds horrible to me.
I agree. You know, in my previous two relationships, it's been very straightforward, like how we're feeling, whatever. But in the past, I told you, I used to date dudes that were DL, dudes that like stuff like that. So it would affect my mental health so badly. And now looking back on it, I can really see how much it was really fucking me up, because it was always in this like nebulous of what are we? We can't do this together. We can't say this because people don't like. And then they couldn't call me their boyfriend because of what that meant, and like toxic masculinity and the homophobia, internalized homophobia that they had about themselves. It's all really, really, really not good for your mental state. So entanglements, we get it. They happen. They're very easy to happen, especially when it comes from a fuck buddy or whatever it is. And I think Bob is really right. Just like being like, hey, this is how I feel. I really like you. I like spending time with you. I like having sex with you. I like when we get to do this and that. I would like to be a boyfriend. Like, is that, like, how do you feel about that? And then, but also you have to be ready for them to be like, bitch, yeah, I'm not about that. Because then that can fuck you up too. But I think knowing is better than playing the guessing game.
Yeah, I once told a guy that I was really into him, and he was like, I'm not into you. And I was like, all right, I'm so glad we have this chat. Did it hurt? Yes, I was very upset. But I got over it and I'm feeling much better now. And I was able to really rip that Band-Aid off. And, you know, you listen to some Sam Smith, you listen to some Lauryn Hill, and you listen to the Lemonade album. Well, that's more of a my boyfriend's cheating on me album.
Yeah.
And you keep moving. That's how it worked for me anyway.
Thank you, Situationship. Next question. Dear Bob and Monet, how do you guys feel about asexuality in the gay community? As someone who identifies as a gay, asexual man, I feel like because a lot of gay culture is centered around the act of sex, it can be difficult to fit in with or relate to some gay men when a lot of gay culture revolves around something I have no real interest in. It just feels isolating sometimes. Sincerely, feeling left out. I get that. You know, I feel like I have a couple asexual friends. They don't identify as that, but in our conversations and in the things that we talk about and discuss, it seems like that's what they are. And I do agree. The queer community is heavily, heavily, heavily talks about sex, thinks about sex, and sex is a really big part of the fabric of our community because, again, as younger people, we couldn't find people to experiment with who were our own age and et cetera, et cetera. So I get it why sex is such a big thing for the queer community. And it can be sobering, not sobering, it can be isolating. I get that. But I don't know, how do we make asexuality more acceptable? Not more acceptable, I think people accept it. It's just sex is a big thing.
Yeah, well, being ace or asexual is a very real thing. There's a couple of people who famously came forward as asexual. I think Laith Ashley famously came forward as asexual.
Really?
And yeah, and I think people think that because you're asexual, it means you literally have no sexual attraction. That's not how that works. Some people who are asexual have just really specific sexual attractions. Sometimes it doesn't involve actual sex. Sometimes people who are asexual do have sex. It's more complicated than just someone who has no physical attraction to anyone. That's not quite how it works.
Like they're not a fucking plant. Like when they hear asexual, they think of asexual plants or asexual jellyfish or whatever. They just procreate on their own or whatever. That's not what that means.
Yeah, and some people are emotionally attracted to people, but not
demisexuals.
Physically attracted. And also vice versa, people are physically attracted but not emotionally attracted. And that's how they express their asexuality. And I think that as long as you're, you know, being open with yourself, being honest with yourself, and it's, you know, you are a minority within a minority, so you're gonna have a harder time. You are gonna have a harder time. Connecting with and relating to other people in the queer space. But there's also lots of spaces online for asexual people. To talk about what it feels like and what it means to be a part of that as well. And I do think that asexual people do belong in the queer community.
Oh, for sure.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I think it's really going to be about, you're going to have to find a sense of your own self, because it is probably going to be harder to find more asexual people, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
We have one more, Monet. Oh, wait, this has been really fun to do. We have one more
Okay, with question. Your little new voice, you don't even sound like you're having fun. Can you put some inflection in it so we can fucking believe you?
Well, a big part of me protecting my voice is not talking with a lot of inflection, but you have to take my word for it. You have to take my word for it.
Well, we don't. Read the next submission, please.
Dear Bob and Monet, my sister walked in on me having sexual relations with a family friend of some sort in the kitchen.
Word.
Of some sort. Yeah, okay, in the future, I'm gonna need y'all to sprinkle in more details. Cause this is, which family friend? Is this the babysitter? Is this your mom's friend? My sister walked in on me having sexual relations with a family friend of some sort in the kitchen. I was positioned doggy style in a chair. I'm assuming that, like, they had their knees on the chair, they were holding the back of the chair. And as he put it in, she walked in, but I didn't notice he did, and he kind of just froze. But what? I was ready, so I kept going. Then I heard footsteps walk away and got scared and was like, oh, shit. But we still kept going and he finished. Me and him laughed about it, but I tried to talk to her after he left. And now my sister isn't talking to me. And there's this weird tension between us. What do I do? How can I fix this?
That is a lot.
I think last one. You take this one.
Okay, so you want to, first of all, let's talk about a few things. Well, you heard someone come in the kitchen, but I mean, I get it. When you're in the heat of the moment, bitch, you're about to get that dick. You're thinking about the repercussions after.
They literally just started.
I mean, but bitch, you're still in heat. You're like, bitch, I'm about to get that dick. Like, this nigga about to paint these walls. He's about to come in these guts. Like, I'm down. So, like, I feel like they were, like, ready. They're going there.
I'm about to paint these walls, right?
I'm about to shit on these walls, right? But so in the heat of the moment, you weren't thinking about it. But then afterwards, you're like, fucker. But, well, y'all laughed about it. Also, some things are missing. Like, how old are you? How old is your sister? Like, are y'all, like, grown adults, like, living together? Or, like, there are so many things.
How does your sister know this friend? Did your sister fuck this friend, too? What do you mean family friend? Is he much older than the two of you? We are missing so many details.
There's a lot. But how you can fix it? I mean, I think your sister, depending on how old they are, your sister needs time to be like, this is crazy. Or you can also just apologize. I would do this. I would send her a text, be like, hey, Marissa. I mean, your sisters be like, is everything cool? Or sorry about that. Or I don't know. You don't have to talk to your sis. I would text her first if you're uncomfortable with a face-on-face interaction. Gauge how she responds from that. And then go knock on her room later or go to her house, wherever she lives from you.
Also, if you don't live alone, don't be fucking in the kitchen. Like, this is a, like, this, you live in a house with other people who are walking around like people do because it's a fucking house. Don't fuck in the kitchen. Fuck in your fucking bedroom. Don't spread your fucking pussy juice and cum all around the house for people to sit in after you done, like, no. Unless you know your home. And then clean your shit up. If you know your home by yourself, everyone's like, I'm leaving for the weekend. I will not be back. Then maybe fuck. But it sounds like y'all didn't do any checking. You just was ready to get blasted from the back.
Oh, bitch. I used to have sex in my kitchen when I used to live.
You're ready to take back shots in, on the chair at the dining room over the leftovers.
Yeah, but like, wow, the turkey gravy is really sour today. What's going on, Martha?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't. This person did not tell us their gender, but I think that it is safe to say that you did not do your due diligence and make sure you were home by yourself. So in the future, just be more thoughtful of the people around you and try to consider that, you know, someone else is gonna pour sweet tea on that counter later.
Yeah, but yeah, in the future, so thank you so much, Messi. But in the future, guys, when y'all send us these, we need just a little more detail to give accurate advice. Maybe you're leaving out a bunch of these details because your sister listens to Sibling Rivalry Podcast and she's gonna hear the story. So, but just give us a little more details, y'all, so we can give y'all like thoughtful answers.
Can I ask you some advice before we go?
What?
Oh my God.
Because I know it's gonna be so silly, it's gonna be something so ridiculous.
Well, okay, you quite presumptuous of you.
Okay, what is it, Bob?
I have a gig coming up today, and I'm not sure what I should wear. I was told I could do out of drag. I'm going to be DJing, and I'm wondering, like, how dressed up should I get? It's a Christmas party.
I think you should, if you're DJing out of drag, you should, are you getting paid for this gig?
No.
You're not getting paid for it. Do you respect the people? Do you like the people doing this event?
I do, a lot.
So I think that if you're these people you love and support, you can show up in a nice, cute outfit. I wouldn't come up in what you're wearing right now, but maybe wear your Ivy Park outfit or like one of like your little, one of your little tent dresses with like your boots and like your hat. Like, wear a cute outfit. Don't come in there wearing what you're wearing now.
I actually think I am getting paid. It's not like a ton, but I am getting paid a little bit.
Oh, so you're getting paid. You agreed to the gig, so you should have a cute boy look on for sure.
Don't gender my clothes. Don't you ever just.
These are the pronouns you asked me to call you by, bitch.
Okay, first of all, boy is not a pronoun. Let's just get that clear.
Well, wow.
College graduated. How's three jobs in college going, huh? Summa cum laude. Yeah, someone does come loudly, and it's you.
Okay, can I ask you one before we go?
Yeah, of course.
No, I really, you know, I always ask you for advice. So as you know, I'm best friends with this guy that's really like abusive, and he's like a bully, and he's very aggressive. I just want to know, like, how can I foster more meaningful relationships with? Why did you put your camera off?
You know, I'll say what you can probably do, honestly, is maybe move to a new town, maybe move somewhere to like LA, and then when you get there, hang out with your other friends and make sure you don't invite him. That's probably the most important thing. Go to movies, go eat Korean barbecue, have game nights, and whatever you do, do not invite him. And then whenever he confronts you about why you never invite, go out to Joshua Tree, go celebrate people's birthday parties. And whenever he asks you why he's not invited, say stuff like, you wouldn't like it anyway. Or say stuff like, well, you had your surgery and couldn't talk. Or say something. Try stuff like that. Go see the movie Aretha, a movie that you know would have inspired him.
You were not in town. You were not here.
I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know it was me. Oh. Oh, my God. This is very telling. Very telling.
You are... I genuinely want to physically punch you in the face.
Just try stuff like that, and it might work out.
Physically hurt you in the face right now.
Well, good luck getting out of Texas a lot, honey. Oh, you're talking about physical assault. You're on the tour with the old 1-2 punch of Liz Ever herself. You're traveling with the Evander Holyfield of drag, honey. Let's see if you make it out of this bitch alive.
Now dance.
And now it's time to dance. All right, I love you very much, bro.
I love you very, too. I love you very much, too.
Bye. Bye.